Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Number 20.
Episode 20. You got to get closer to your microphone.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, this is the ending of season one.
The end of season one, episode 20 of the Robcast Podcast.
It's been quite the ride.
It has been.
I think quite the incredible ride. Feedback from people. Lots of great guests, amazing information, a lot of knowledge, you know, being spread to the podcast. I'm very excited that we've been able to reach the episode 20.
I mean, yeah, when we started, I didn't think we would, you know, be as far as we were when we did those first like four in a row the first time. And we're like, oh my God, we got four already. And we had to wait, you know, three more weeks before that was even out, like that fourth episode. But we didn't stop. We kept going, getting as many as we could before you would then go back out on the road and then, you know, come back in and do some more. And so today I came out and kidnapped you from the House of Blues to bring you here. To the studio.
You're only 5 miles away.
I know.
Why do it down there? We're in an awesome studio.
Way smarter. Yeah, definitely way smarter to do it.
I mean, with traffic, it's only 2 hours, but with 5 miles, but you know, what the fuck?
When you sent me that Google Maps thing and it was like, why are we only 6 miles away, but it's going to take an hour to get here?
What the fuck, man?
That's Chicago, man. That's how it works here.
Winter and construction.
It's the only two seasons. Yeah. And they do that around Uptown, especially. Yeah, the construction's nuts.
But excited to be at the House of Blues tonight. The Hell Yeah tour has been more than even words I can say. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, the crowds, the attendance, the numbers, the merch numbers have been great. You know, it's been probably one of the best tours we've done in quite some time.
Well, and those fans that are there are doing, you know, such a great job to make noise, too. I mean, it's like, how could you not have a great time when those shows, like the one I was at last week, was sold out?
Tonight,
I think, is sold out, isn't it?
It's close to.
Yeah,
it will. Last night was sold out. Denver was sold out.
Yeah, and those pictures I've been seeing online and the video stuff that, you know, Frankie's been doing and from the recording that we did a week ago is already out, you know, like it's almost like instant gratification for people. And if they've seen this and haven't been out to one of these shows, they should go. By the time this one's out, it might actually be over, though. No, it won't be over yet.
It'll be
like a few days left. You'll be in Texas.
Yeah, it'll be the day before it ends.
Yeah, so you'll be in Texas when this comes out. So when you hear it next week, say, you know, if you're in Texas, then you should go to a Texas show, especially because that's where Vin was from.
It ends in Dallas. The pre-sale for that show is insane.
I can't imagine because they were from
Arlington.
Arlington, right. That's when I used to work at Washburn. I used to have to fax order things to Dimebags Fortress. That's what it was called. The fax machine number said Dimebags Fortress, and it was in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, that's where they were based out of. And yeah, it's been a great tour, man. And we actually are coming out there. We sing Walk with the guys, and then they play I'm Broken. They were rehearsing Mouth for War.
I know. I was at Green Bay. They were doing it, and I was like,
I don't think
they've
played it yet, but they were
rehearsing. It's tricky. That song is freaking tricky. I was watching Roy do it, and like he was like hitting a stick click before he would come back in because there's that one beat that Vin did that was just like, it sounded late, but it wasn't.
Yeah. You know?
And then it would turn, and then the end of that song, it just goes crazy blast beat shit.
Yeah, there's that snare you think like it's not going to land.
Yeah, and it comes in. And
it lands in the perfect spot. Vin was very creative when it came to...
Oh, and his footwork on that song, too. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, crazy. And even with Walk, I mean, the ending has that kick pattern that, I mean, it's just amazing creativity musically on a drum, you know, which is something you've done. I mean, I've heard you do that kind of stuff with your patterns where it's actually like, I know that's the verse, I know that's the chorus, but there's no notes, there's no chords, but it's your pattern that you're playing that tells me what it is.
I learned a lot of that stuff from Vinny. He was a huge influence on me, and you know, getting to watch Roy every night to play And Roy's also been one of my favorites.
Well, and then getting to play on his kit.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
In Denver, there was a lack of space. And 182, my drum tech came and said, hey, Roy said you could use this kit. You just can't change anything. I said, yeah, I can use the kit. I mean, I sat up there. I sat up there once. Peking, his tech let me sit on it to hit the 808 and use the thumper and all that. I mean, it's insane.
He's got the seat?
Yeah, he's got the seat, but it's got a cable that connects to it. Yep. It's got a box.
I think Mikey from Disturbed uses that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Too. Yeah,
He used to back in the day, I'm sure he still does.
And I sat on there. I was like, wow, this feels very strange. But when he offered the kit, I mean, it was a sold-out show. If I set up in front, we're not going to have absolutely no space. And so, you know, we wanted to have space to do our thing.
Yeah, and Colorado's a big one for you guys. Yeah. I mean, I've been out there.
So I played the show, and the funny thing is he has a seat up so high, I felt like I was sliding off of it.
But you couldn't have just grabbed your throne?
No,
because nothing would have, you would have been like...
I would have been, nobody would have seen me.
Yeah, play, you would have been under the kit.
Yeah, so... But man, it's been a pleasure to watch him play and do justice to those songs and keeping Vinny's spirit alive. And Roy's just an amazing drummer.
And the record that Hell Yeah has out now, that's with Vinny on it, right? Is that the last?
That was the last recorded stuff that Vinny did.
Comes out September 27th of 2019.
Okay.
So that's awesome. And maybe we can get Chad, hopefully, on the season 2 right before that happens to kind of...
A little bump.
Yeah, give it a bump, but also talk about that tour you guys did, or this tour that you guys are doing, and get back to, this being Vinny's last, legacy, literally. I mean, obviously Pantera's timeless, and, Damage Plan was kind of a flash in and out. I love the album that they put out. I had it. And then Hell Yeah has been around long enough to really keep that, legacy going, but his last recording before he died, being that, is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
And that 333 song, that 333 song's awesome.
Great drumming. I started messing around with that now on the tour, playing that song, 333. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he had that pattern thing going.
Yeah,
again,
Roy was teaching me one of the things that he does, and I was like, man, that looks difficult. Mm-hmm.
But seriously, this last run that you guys are on and then coming out with your headlining run, coming up, it's going to be a busy fall for you.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. We're going out with Hyra the Hero, Madam Mayhem, and Zero Theorem.
There you go.
On our next run. And that should be a fun one.
And that actually starts in Texas.
It does. It starts in Lubbock.
So you start where you leave.
It starts in Lubbock.
Like you're leaving off Texas
Jake's,
on this
Jake's
Hell Yeah
back
tour.
Room.
Oh, that's a good place for you
then
guys.
Then we go to... San Antonio, Tyler, Corpus Christi.
Damn. And then Florida for
No. Then we go to New Orleans.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
We have 2 days off in Destin.
Nice.
And then we play Destin. Then we start Destin and we do all the South Florida and all that. And then we start going up. A Highly Suspect is playing one of the days, so I'm going to go check them out.
Where are they playing?
That's Club LA.
LA.
We're going to be parked there at the venue.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to watch the shows.
I like Highly Suspect. They've heard a lot of their stuff on Satellite. We should see if we can get someone from that band on.
Yeah.
Because season 2 is going to,
I wonder if I can actually make that happen, man.
Yeah. Season 2 is going to be,
John Frank is our former Razor and Tie guy, so he works at their label. I might be able to.
What label are they on?
300 Entertainment.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that.
I've heard that. Label. So, all right. Well, let's take a little recap of this season.
We've had some great people on here.
Like, it started with this great drummer guy I know named Rob Rivera.
That's me.
Yeah. And that one actually, is doing really well as far as, it being our maiden voyage into the podcasting world. We didn't know how many listeners we'd get. We didn't know, what it was going to, turn into. But then, going in, episode 1 was both of us.
Yeah.
Episode 2 was the Rob Rivera episode, which is doing really well as listeners go. And then my episode, which is more, just kind of our backgrounds. But then we started with guests. And we've had so many great guests,
Yeah, I started with Sean Glass.
Yeah.
Old friend of the scene. And brought in Rashid after that. And
that one was fun.
That was fun. Good to have him talk about gardening and his
And him being here before he was with you guys.
Being the insane hoarder that he is of gear.
The gear hoarder.
Hey, you got some broken speakers? I'll take them.
He has so much stuff from here. And now I need to have him come by after you guys are off the road so he can take a look around and pick some more things to hoard.
I want to pick some stuff.
No, you keep leaving stuff.
No, I want to pick some stuff.
Well, that kit up there.
I don't need that one.
I know.
I have one of those.
I know. You have like duplicates of everything.
You need that here.
Yes, so that you don't have to bring yours here.
Exactly. I don't like bringing anything.
So that's what some of our listeners will understand, that Rob has been very generous to Uptown Recording, and like, you know, he gets something and then he finds a way to get us an exact copy of it. And I thought, wow, this is such nice gestures. And then when he shows up and only with like sticks, and he goes, I love it. I don't have to bring anything.
That's why I do it.
I'm like,
sticks and cymbals. I'd leave cymbals here too if I could. I'd be scared somebody stealing.
No, nobody would walk out with one of those. They're too big.
Yeah.
They're too heavy. So yeah, then we had Billy Bio.
Yeah, Billy's a good dude. He actually shared our Fix This video the other day on Twitter.
I saw that. I saw this video of him out on the road, and I think I showed it to you or I talked to you about it, where ESP sent him guitars, but they were empty cases. And he's opening the box, and he's like,
invisible model.
Yeah, these are really light. Like, and then he opened it and is like, oh, and then he opened the second one and it's empty. It's like somebody messed up at the factory for sure. But I'm
that'd have been it was some cheap ass shipping though.
Yeah. But I also
forgot the guitar.
Yeah. Didn't put that in there.
Oh man, that was funny. That was really funny.
Yeah.
And I loved how, he wanted clean or real. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he goes, you want this a clean podcast, you want to keep it real? And that was kind of what set our tone for the rest of our podcasting, really. It's like, mm-hmm. People started to make good comments about that we were keeping as real as we could. And, you know, we're going to continue that with the next season for sure. Like, I don't want buffers, involved. When you listen to some of these podcasts that may be edited, they clean up stuff, they take stuff that, may be controversial, but we found that some of these things are getting, like when we started doing like the Phil Dammel episode, then someone like a Blabbermouth picks it up and our plays went crazy, but they'll take something, from the article and put it out, and then people want to listen because of that. And I think that's something we're going to focus on in the next, season, try and find those moments in our cast where, people are going to be really intrigued to want to listen to what we've got.
Yeah, it's all about, like when you ask the right questions and the important questions, where, we're not trying to get dirt out of nobody.
No.
But
that's
like
never been the point of this podcast.
Yeah. But when they picked up the story, it was cool. And the actual headline was how cool it's going to be for the fans to see the 25th anniversary tour. A positive. It was really positive because like we said on the podcast, three positive things came out of that whole thing. He went back to violence. McLean went back to Sacred Reich, and then Rob resurrected the original lineup
from the Burn My Eyes.
From the Burn My Eyes. So, the fans are winning in this whole situation.
Yeah, nobody. And he was in for a long time. So it wasn't like he was only in the group for a few years and then, was like...
He was in there for 15, 16 years.
Yeah, several albums and tons of tours. And, he was definitely a member.
He was part of five records.
And, then that comes like, to the Jeff Scott Soto episode that we did where, mm-hmm. That resurrected something that I found an article back from like 2012 about was the, the journey thing. And, mm-hmm. Like you said, it's asking a question where, then the guest comes back and says, well, that's a great question, Rob, you're like, okay, I did something that, or you would had that question. And it was like, oh my God, this question made Blabbermouth pick up on it because it's relevant. Like here he is back doing his own thing with Soto and, he's doing the Trans-Siberian thing. And, he's got so much of
Sons of Apollo.
Yeah. That like when we talked to him and we were like, how do you keep going? And you're like, you keep going and you just never stop. And then the Journey thing, like them not acknowledging him. And, there was a release that you can Google the press release that, that was out, but you can't find him on their sites. Yeah. You know, so that definitely drove a lot of listeners because he's had such an expansive career over so long of a period of time.
Too, very respected too.
And then people, you know, wanted to hear more about it.
And a good person. I mean, the guy is an incredible friend.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I'm waiting for my vinyl, by the way. Said he had a bunch of vinyl to give me. He's been slacking on it.
And so, you know, we've had some of the I guess legends in a sense. Like we had, you know, Dave Ellefson, which was one of my favorite, you know, because we got to bass geek out for a minute.
And it's cool to talk to him. I mean, ever since the first day I met him, he's one of the most genuine, just nicest guys. Like
so I've easy ever to met. Talk to. And the way that podcast started, like we were having a little bit of a tech glitch where I couldn't get you in the call at the same time, and I had never spoken to the guy before, but it was super easy to talk to. We broke the ice right away about being in bands and being with around people with the same names, where he's in a band with more than one Dave and I'm working a podcast with another Rob, and it's confusing. And when I said, hey, it's Rob, he could have thought it was you or me or, you know, who knows. But he was so like open to talking about all sorts of things, and you know that, like all the different drummers that he's had to play with, which was a great question that you had for him. That was awesome.
Yeah, something that popped in my head because, I mean, as a rhythm section, you know, like you have to connect with that drummer. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. If he's in your band, you have to find a way to connect with him. And I said, man, he's had to do that quite a few times, you know.
And on a world scale.
Yeah.
Not just like in your garage when you're a kid and like, you know, that guy didn't work out, so you have a different guy. This is like, you know, and what he was saying even with like the drummers that they had, he's like, do you know that intro part we do? And he's like, I got it, man. You know, like these guys are pro, you know, and to surround yourself with nothing but pros is the reason they've been killing it.
And Jimmy DeGrazzo is literally one of the best drummers. I mean, you can see his resume. He's played with YNT, Suicidal. He's played with a lot of different. You can tell he's a good drummer. He can adapt to different styles. He's a great drummer.
Yeah. Well, and then it fits well when you play with good musicians.
Yeah.
And Megadeth, of course, you know, being great, and his Bass Story tour, which I think is actually still going on right now.
Yes, it is.
You know, was something that we talked about as well.
I loved the conversation with John Connolly.
Yeah, John Connolly, S7, episode 7 dust.
Yeah, that was a great conversation with him. Yeah, and he gave a lot, he dropped a lot of information and knowledge on that episode that everyone should, if you have not heard that episode, you really should go back and listen to it.
Yeah, that one and
very business oriented.
That's also kind of the theme that we've been, you know, seeing from these guests that we've had is how business oriented they are about this music business. I mean, it is really a refreshing view from, you know, when we grew up, you know, like looking up to the bands that were, let's say, the 80s hair bands, for example, and it was all sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, and it's like, then when we got on tour, wasn't it kind of a little bit of a, it's not really sex, drugs, rock and roll.
I think
it's,
it was back then because they had people
it was
taking
all
care of them, but at the same time,
ripping
there were
them
people
off.
Ripping them off.
Yeah, they were taking care of them.
Yeah, you know, like, they were definitely themselves. Doing the sex, drug, and rock and roll, but not really focusing
on the business.
On the business side.
And that's why some of those guys are broke now. Some of those guys are, you know, they went from playing arenas to playing, you know, a backdoor club and, you know, behind a burrito joint or something.
Yeah.
Because they didn't pay attention to the business.
You have to. Like me and Elias, we have been so invested in learning everything that has to be learned.
That's all I've known from you guys
about
when
the
I
music
started
business.
Hanging out,
you know,
again.
You have to learn everything, just like there should be a Pro Tools guy. There should be a guy that knows how to do Photoshop. There needs to be a guy that knows how to do everything. You know, like somebody in the band has to do something. Somebody, you know, that can build stuff. Like the former bassist who just now left from Butcher Babies. He was like their carpenter. Mm-hmm. And he built...
He built his own cabinet thing.
Built the set cards. He did, you know, you need to have a guy like that. You need to have guys that are willing to do that.
And then we had Heidi from the Butcher Babies.
Oh, she was awesome.
And her birthday. And
she
we got
awesome
to sing happy
to
birthday
to
her. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Blabbermouth picked up that.
Yeah, they started talking about how they
were looking for a label.
Looking for a label, which is, I mean, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, you know, like when you've got that freedom to choose and don't necessarily even need to choose one. You could you've got an establishment that you could go on your own and do it.
I personally think that most bands should just go the independent route.
it's so much easier to do now than ever.
Yeah.
And expose yourself to the right audiences, figure it out if you know the business. Like, you know, a band like yourselves could take that easily on your own. You already know the business side of it. You've done it long enough. You know how to route your own tours. You could TM yourself. You could, you know, not have to do it, but you could, you know. And
I got involved in a lot of the touring side, especially like routing.
That's important.
You know, routing is important.
You know, you can't save so much money if you route properly.
You can't just have a map and start throwing darts. And
no.
You hit one in Seattle and then your next date is in Chicago.
Right. And it's 2 days, but it takes three to get there.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, so you're putting yourself at risk.
Now drivers have that little...
The rule.
The rule. You have to stop at 10 hours.
It's a Department of Transportation thing.
And it's a thing, a log on your bus. If you go over it, you're getting penalized.
Yeah. And then you could lose your CDL. Never drive again.
Yeah.
So those sides of the business is, you know, I think actually we could get some of that going on the next cast. You know, maybe we talk like to Chuck, get a driver's perspective of what it's like.
I tried to get him. He won't do it.
He won't be on
the bus. He's scared.
If I ask him, he might do it.
Yeah, we should.
He hugs me every time he sees me. Chuck is one of the best drivers in the bus driving world, definitely.
Great guy, takes care of the band.
Gets the band to where they got to go safely, and that's the important part.
Yeah, he is a good dude, and I love hanging out with him. He's always got a smile on his face. You know,
I would love to have him on, just because his perspective of, you know, how many miles he's driven, and, you know.
We're going to talk to him today when we see him. He says, you're going to be on my podcast.
Yeah, we need to force him on.
Yeah,
and we'll give him some Twizzlers and some Mountain Dew, and he'll friggin' come running.
And maybe some Chew.
And we had Sumo Psycho was, you know,
love them. The Canadian. They're out there, and they're out there in Vegas working with Kane Churko.
Oh, they're doing a new record, right?
Yeah, they're just writing some songs. I've seen some video logs.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Matt in front of some weird colored room, and he's in Vegas. Yeah, in Vegas, and so and actually, Kane Churko just released a single. He released a single? Yeah. It's called Mr. Kane. You got to check it out. It's like, it's different. I didn't expect it to be this kind of music. It's like pop. Like, it's not metal. It's not, you know, what he's been known to produce. Yeah. But I really love the production. He's been taking forever to do it. And I can't imagine how awesome the whole record will be, because he's got that hideout. That place is phenomenal. And his dad, you know, giving him all that, you know, early on guidance from, you know, Kevin
Churko. He's got access to the whole thing.
Kevin and Kane, yeah. I mean, that's like the dream team of the West Coast.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's something that, you know, I've followed all the different projects that he's done. But then I saw a post, I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I saw this post where he's dropping his first single. And I watched a music video, which is on his Facebook. And he's in it, and he's singing, and it's... But he also does like a wrestling thing, kind of like Robbie does from Stuck Mojo, where it's like that, you know, independent wrestling league. So Kane's involved in that too. So I'm guessing Matt and him are probably getting along really well, because Sumo and that kind of music, they've got that high energy. So they were really fun to have on. Jared from Taproot, that was a great episode.
Love that guy.
And the picture was awesome, because I think I might have taken that picture, because that was when
in Detroit.
Yeah, I was there with you guys on
Royal
the Alta Bridge
Oak,
run.
With the Royal Oak music thing.
That was after Florida run. We drove up to Detroit, and then the day after that was the Riv. And you dropped me off here.
Yeah.
Like, so I was with you guys for like 4 or 5 days, and he came to that show with Alta Bridge, and we were outside the bus, and I took that picture, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Jared's a good dude, man. One of the few guys still from back in the day that I stayed in touch with.
And then we had Mikey from Snot.
Yeah.
That was funny because I don't think he actually knew that we were recording him until maybe 5 minutes into the podcast. Because we caught him in the car because he had called our number, and we thought that was him calling in, but we missed it. So we called him back, and he was really just calling us to tell us that he was not yet home and that he was going to call us when he got home. But you just went right into it, and he was awesome, and he obliged. He didn't even flinch at it.
No.
And then I think at some point, like I said, about 5 minutes into it, I could hear his tone change a little bit. And he's like, okay, wait, I'm actually on this podcast right now. And then, you know, this episode that we had last week, which was from
Sweet
Green Bay.
Tea.
And it had the tech, Trollo extraordinaire, as you say.
Yeah,
Sweet Tea, or Justin.
Justin.
So, you know, this season has had, you know, different types of things, from musicians to crew members. Episode 10 was the big one from the Full Circle Tour. Tai Sui was on, the Australians. I just finished mixing a song for them yesterday, a new one. Yeah, it's called Danny DeVito.
Really?
The song's called Danny DeVito.
That's so dope.
And throughout the song, there's a part where they scream about Danny DeVito and that, you know, he was 4'10", but nothing stopped him. You know, yeah. Like to be such a small guy and to be such a huge star, like it doesn't matter how big or how small you are. We had Stephen Slate on the episode.
Slate Man.
And that episode's been kind of gaining some traction in the tech world now.
It's a little more on the nerdy side.
It was totally nerdy. It made your brain hurt.
Yeah, it's really geared more for studio musicians, engineers, musicians in general. And he offers... That guy's just a fucking genius.
He has shifted the paradigm on the industry. Like all the companies now have gone to a subscription model. They have not charging a ton of money for plugins anymore, letting people get into the software and make music. And then the things that we played with that he had come out with, like Anna, that synthesizer thing, you know, all of a sudden we had a freaking song in 30 minutes. He just released a video about how Anna can help with writer's block. Because that feature it has where you just hold one key down and it's playing like all sorts of stuff and the memory cord device thing that it has. So that was awesome to hear about that. We'll have some more of those kinds of things on next season. But I really think what we want to try and focus more on is the music business and how, you know, some people can, you know, really benefit from understanding from other people's mistakes, you know, like what to do, what not to do. And, you know, any of those people that are in, you know, trying to quote unquote make it in the music business, it's a lot easier than it's ever been, you know, to like make it yourself. But you have to put the work behind it. And I've seen you guys do tour after tour. And, you know, if you're not willing to do the sacrifice, then you're not going to get the reward. You know, that's something that I think a lot of people need to realize.
And to us, giving up is not an option.
No, you have no choice.
Like,
I remember back in the Poison Red, there was actually a thing that Richter recorded as part of that behind the scenes thing with Elias when he was talking about, you know, it's all he knows how to do. Like, you know, he doesn't know how not to be Nonpoint. You know, it's like because you've done it for a couple of decades now and more than that. And it's really not a job. It's a career. It's a life. You know, it's a lifestyle. And I say that about my recording world, too. It's like, you know, I've done this almost, this is my 18th year at Uptown Recording, but I've been doing recording for so long that it's my career. It's my life. Like, I don't have a job.
This is your job.
It's my career. Yeah. You know, like you've made a career out of being a musician and a music, you know, business person.
Now a podcaster.
And that's what made sense when we decided to do a podcast. It's like, well, why not? You know, it's like if you put the same amount of effort, which you have, and the same amount of work ethic that I see you do with other things in your life that and you do it with this podcast, then it, you know, doesn't matter if we have a huge audience or a small audience. The people who listen, they like it. Yeah. You know, and I'm looking at our stat thing right now. We have almost 19,000 plays from the first season. So take across 20 episodes, that's about 1,000 listens per episode for
I've never done this. I didn't know what to do. I mean, with your help and your help, we've been able to launch this off the ground.
The tech side, like you've been saying about, like, even in the podcasting world, you need a guy that knows how to do this stuff. I need a guy that can get me the guests.
Yep.
You know, like, we need to have great questions. You have perspective from your side of the glass. I have perspective from my side with the John Connolly one, talking about Kempers, you know, like going through gear with people that are also then in the same episode we're talking about, you know, eating at a truck stop or, you know, how you stay healthy on tour and, you know, what it means to, you know, be out there for real. And you guys have been doing that for so long that, you know, it seems like second nature to you. Yeah. Like so much so that you can, you know, take off from the House of Blues today, come over here, record a podcast. We'll go get some eggs and then go back to the House of Blues.
We need to go get some eggs like soon.
And Get Some Eggs is this restaurant we go to around Uptown that, is
the
like
bomb ass breakfast,
great pancake place that actually is in the Shameless TV show. They use that restaurant in Shameless.
Awesome.
It's called Patsy's Pies.
That's what it's called in Shameless.
Oh, it's really called the Golden House here in Chicago. But now they've recreated. They sent a crew out from L.A. here to measure the entire place, and they rebuilt it in a set in Hollywood.
That's awesome.
So they wouldn't have to fly all the talent out to Chicago and film.
That makes sense.
They can do it. And the Shameless house is not too far from Bottom Lounge. I think Chuck went to go see it when you guys played Bottom Lounge last. He Ubered to it. It's in a really bad neighborhood.
Yeah, we almost went to Prince's house yesterday.
But
it was going to be open today. It was 30 minutes from the venue.
We when we played the Quest back in the day, we went there. We went to got to hang out there. It was so awesome. That studio there, Paisley Park, is freaking amazing.
I bet.
It's so awesome. And the crew at the Quest was like all like Prince's like people, you know. So they like had the in, and they had us come go out there. He wasn't there though.
No, of course.
But
not.
The studio manager let us into the studio, and we got to see it, and it was amazing.
Were you geeking out?
I was geeking out, like so geeking out. Not only because it was Prince, but it was, you know, recording.
How'd you feel seeing the studios at Sweetwater?
It's amazing. They've got some of the best gear there because they sell it. You know, like that catalog that they keep sending out, which I don't know how they can afford to do, but it's so amazing. Much. It's so heavy, and they send it out quarterly, and we have one at the studio here, and I look through it, and all that gear is there, and the best of it's in their studios. So there actually is an opportunity. I think I might be going there to do another Rob Scallon thing, which is going to be awesome at Sweetwater because they sponsor him now. They're like endorsing him.
That's awesome.
Which is a great endorsement to have. And it's like, you know, such a good company, and it's only one of them, but they're so huge because of their catalog.
Yeah.
And their warehouse is like a freaking village. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah. It's so big.
And I know Rashid was geeked about it too because of like the studios and the gear and the theater they have though, the Clyde Theater.
Is it there inside?
It's not in Sweetwater. It's like 8 minutes away. It's in Fort Wayne. It's called the Clyde.
Yeah, I know. It's like
a you guys need to play there.
There's a new venue.
It's amazing. I mean, when I saw the roster that had played this summer and Killswitch was on there, and there was a couple of other bands, like they even had the Temptations there. But it's an amazing sounding room because it was built by Sweetwater engineers, and
it's powered
by Sweetwater. So it's got the best live equipment. The monitors are amazing. The stage is awesome. The green rooms are amazing. I took a whole tour behind the stage. That's a place Nonpoint needs to play.
We'll get there.
And you guys have done Fort Wayne well. But yeah, so there's, you know, lots of opportunities in season two that we can, you know, really hopefully grow the audience.
And, yeah, we're going to start reaching out to some, I have some potential guests lined up. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And
we'll talk a little bit more, you know, about backgrounds of you know, influences. And when we start getting these guests, I really want to find out what made them start.
Yeah.
Like, why did they start? You know, like, what made you start doing? We already know that. I mean, we talked about when you had that vision when you started, and you talk about that in your origin episode about this is what you're going to get to, you know, and when you had that vision, that's like the big picture.
I'm not there yet.
You have gotten there.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
Not where I had envisioned it.
Well, no, but the vision changes as you grow.
Yeah.
But still, you're being able to do what you love and getting paid to do it.
I'm not. I can't complain.
And that's the same thing. I'm
incredible career.
Yeah,
I can't. To be able to say this is all I do for a living is pretty freaking cool.
I agree. Same thing with me.
But anyway, on that note,
yeah,
let's
go get some eggs.
Let's go get some eggs. Thank you, everybody who has listened. I know I've talked to some people on this tour that have listened to every single episode.
Yeah, me too.
And that's awesome.
That's crazy.
You've listened to actual 19 episodes.
There was a guy at Green Bay came up to me and said, "It's so great to meet you in person. I listen to the podcast all the time, and fan of the show, of the podcast." And I mean, and the, you know, a couple of other people that I've talked to on Facebook that, you know, are mutual friends of ours. They're like, "Man, I can't wait for next week. Can't wait for next week." And I'm like,
"Yeah, I've gotten like Chad Oleg is loving it.
We need to have him on because Chad's
Chad?
Got, yeah,
yeah, we
we've talked about
Chad
that.
On.
We got to have him on. We'll have like a sound.
He can
guy
tell the stories of him chasing after me, and I was drunk on Jack Daniels, trying not to beat up somebody."
Oh my god, yeah, I could imagine that.
But anyway, on that note, thank you so much, everybody. Season, we're gonna be off for a couple weeks, so after this episode it might be maybe 2 to 4, we're not really sure yet,
but use that
season
time,
two is
go,
coming
go back and listen to other episodes.
Definitely,
in season one if you
yeah,
haven't
if you've missed out, I think you really should listen to every single one because every single one offers something to help you establish a music career, help you establish, you know, possibly a vision of what you can do in the future. And definitely the John Connolly one is a really, really, really good one. So
yeah,
definitely check that out. Check all of them out. But, you know, John Connolly is really cool. So on that note, we're going to get some fucking eggs.
Yes.
Let's go eat.
All right.
Take
Peace.
Care. Peace out.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the Robcast Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on all future episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. and feel free to send us any comments, suggestions, guest ideas, topics, whatever, at robcastpodcast@gmail.com. That is robcastpodcast@gmail.com. Remember that the Rob has two B's. Enjoy your day.